This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Food and travel, they go hand in hand. And chances are, if you're a fan of Heritage Radio Network, you love them both. Between April 10th and 24th, we have 6 incredible food and travel experiences up for auction at charitybuzz.com. Go on an underground food tour of New Orleans with a rocket scientist. Get your hands on VIP passes to Feast Portland, or enjoy a ranch-to-table experience in wine country. 4 of the experiences include hotel stays at some of the most iconic properties across the country, including the newly reopened Hotel Claremont in Atlanta. Now's your chance to win the ultimate Bourbon and Beyond weekend in Lexington, or take in a Latin food tour of New York's outer boroughs. You'll eat, drink, explore, and relax, all while supporting Heritage Radio Network. Help us keep the lights on and the mics hot. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/auction and bid now.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And my name is Souther Teague.
Your name is... You were gone last week.
I was, man. Teague. I'm sorry.
Where were you, man?
I was in Seattle.
What were you doing there?
I went out for Sharpie Mustache Day at No Anchor Bar. The first and only annual Sharpie Mustache Day.
What the hell, man? How did you get your own holiday for your cocktail?
So,
Chris, first of all, tell the audience what...
Chris, so Sharpie Mustache is a cocktail that's been on the menu at Amore Margo for 5 of our 7 years. We serve it in an adorable little flask with a mustache on it. It's kind of become our little icon of the bar.
Chris Elford... Makes a hell of a boomerang.
It's already set up to go. Yeah. Chris Elford, inventor of that cocktail, author of that cocktail, whatever you want to call it, he owns a bar now out in Seattle. He owns several, actually, but No Anchor is his nerdy beer bar, but they also serve spirits there. He serves the Sharpie Mustache there. He borrowed a barrel from Copperworks Distillery, which was just named best distillery in the country, and barrel-aged some Sharpie Mustache. Then he took that barrel and sent it to a local brewery where they put a beer in the barrel. Then he put the barrel back to Copperworks Distillery and went and handpicked some whiskey to blend into it. And so we had Sharpie Mustache, barrel-aged Sharpie Mustache, Sharpie beer, and a barrel-aged Sharpie whiskey. Sharpie Mustache Day.
Jesus.
It was great, man. It was a really good time. And getting to see old friends and see their new projects and celebrate. And it was kind of a break for me. I had some work to do, so I didn't stay at his house. I stayed in a hotel nearby the bar so I could pop over there and continue working to finish up this crazy-ass book that I've written, which is very, very close to being done. But it was a real good time. I did listen to the show. Excellent episode, man. Call in. That's crazy. We got to start doing that.
Well, yeah, it was a thing that we did like a while back, but I don't think we've done that since you've been.
No, it's pre my time. I've definitely heard some episodes where people called in. Well, one person called in since I've been here. Your mom called.
Oh, yeah,
in.
My birthday. Or was no? That was our
200th episode. 200th episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, mom.
Adorable.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Anyway,
what'd you do to your fingers, man?
I don't know, man. I shredded them. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I've got bandages on 3 of my 5 fingers on my right hand.
I know you can't see this, but they match your glasses.
Oh, perfect. Red Band-Aids.
Yeah, they were white before.
Yeah.
We put them on.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, you got to tell me the story later then.
All right.
Why don't you...
But in the studio today, we got Giancarlo Mancino of Mancino Vermouth, a great vermouth that I enjoy and I have on my menu at Amore Margo. And everyone should get it and taste it and enjoy it. And welcome to the studio, buddy.
Ciao. How are you?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to say, he's got a really, really sexy Italian accent.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
So hang on. Everybody out there, hang on. Also in the room, we got Lincoln Charney from Lincoln Writes. Just chiming in whenever he wants to. Hey, Lincoln.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Welcome
to the studio. Well,
thank you.
He's been a longtime fan of the show, and I don't know if a lot of the listeners know, but if you live in and around New York, you're totally welcome to come sit in the studio when we're on the air. There's plenty of room in here. We've had up to... Well, we had 11 people in here when we had the Tiki Mafia.
We did.
Which, by the way, we need to get him back. His place is opening up.
Open, yeah.
Did it open?
Nope, not yet.
One more week.
Wait,
right?
Brian Miller?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got an email from him. I think it's end of April.
End of April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Polynesian. Ooh, nice. In stereo. Anyway, Giancarlo, how you been, buddy?
Very good. Very good. Always a pleasure to come back to New York.
Yeah, man.
Especially when I see old mates.
Yeah, man. It's good to see you. I haven't seen you since you did an event at Amoria Margo.
Yes. Yes.
A couple months back.
Yeah. And well, just exactly last year in April, actually. Just
oh, has it been a year?
Yeah, just 1 year ago.
That's right.
Correct.
Holy cow.
It's 1 year. Fast.
Time really has flown. This past year has been...
Yeah. No, I got lost. I think I don't remember 2016 at all. Not because I use drugs, but just like seriously.
I was going to say, yeah. You keep
seriously, I don't use... You know what I'm saying? I don't remember 2016.
Yeah, I think I'm having that for 2017.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah, I think I was so busy. Plus, I was out of commission when I got hit by a car. Plus. Just all these things have happened in 2017.
So confusing. Some people say like, hey, Giancarlo, you have to, I have to come back to see us and do some education. I said like, oh, wait a moment. I just was there. I have another 50 countries to go and figure out. It's like, no. You came here in 2015. I said, oh, right. So let's plan it.
Yeah.
So just crazy. 16, totally gone. Gone.
That happens to me all the time. I'm always like, when I have someone back on the show.
Yeah.
That been around the past. I was like, yeah, it was like last year, right? And it's like, no, it was 2013.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. It's like, it's crazy. Yeah. We're getting old, guys.
You're always a little confused. You got on the wrong train today.
I did. I was just excited, man. I was excited to be here and talking about vermouth. It's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Nice.
Because it's a very misunderstood ingredient and
category in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Actually. This is my goal. That's why I separate the category with the Merlin Omato brand and with vermouth, because there is a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion. We are here to educate everybody. So
absolutely.
So especially when we do presentation and talks and everything, from my side, always we put down some slides in terms of education and in the category, as a category, not just the branding. And then we go down for branding. So for me, it's cool. Seriously to go into the details. What is real, the very, very aperitivo italiano, which is segregated in few categories, which is bitter, aperitivos, vermouth, and amaros.
Yeah.
That's the whole things what we do in Italy. And then there are the subs ones, which is, can be a Marsalas, can be the Rosolios, can be the other, the other herbal liquors, the Galliano style, all that.
So like basically, Centerbe,
all that. So that is, goes a little bit below. But the main things is, what is vermouth? Why vermouth has to be written properly in the front label, guys?
What do you mean?
Okay.
Let's get into it. What do you mean?
Well,
so the label has to say the right thing.
The label has to say the right things, first of all. Has to be actually the main things about vermouth. So let's put it to the point like this, okay? Vermouth. It's a German word, right?
Yeah.
Which comes from the wormwood, which is like bush, like herb, and then in this particular point, the Mancino using three kinds of wormwood, but also wormwood in Italians we call Artemisium absinthium, which is the Latin word. Okay.
Yeah. Artemisium absinthium.
Correct.
Wormwood / Artemisia.
Correct. Right. So. So basically, Mancino uses three kinds, one from north, one from middle, one from south. One is called Pontica, Gentile, and Romana. Mainly one for the bitterness, one for the taste, and one for the smell.
Right.
Okay? So now, vermouth. In 4 points, what is vermouth in general? People say fortified wine, aromatized wine, wine with botanicals, wine bitter. It's confusing. So vermouth is 75, to be Italian vermouth, we talk about the Italian category, okay?
To be Since you're Italian, let's stay with that.
Correct, let's say that. No, you know, I love French vermouth, too. Don't get me wrong, but the good ones. which are not in the market.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so basically, the Italian vermouth, 75% supposed to be, and need to be Italian wine. And the Italian wine need to be written behind the label. So what kind of wine are you using? Trebbiano. I use Trebbiano. Somebody use Moscato. Somebody use whatever. But it has to be written because...
Needs to be printed on the label.
Oh, yeah. Because basically, we have a lot of lovely countries around Italy. And then wine can be cheap. Mm. All right? And the other 25% in a bottle, it's a sugar... alcohol, which is the actual spirit, in this case Mancino using sugar beet alcohol. And the other point is botanicals, what are botanicals? Botanicals divide into four categories: flowers, spices, roots, and herbs.
Okay. I'm still with you.
Mancino across of the whole range, including Gnomato, we have 40 botanicals in general, and we divide it with the secco, the dry, the bianco, rosso, amaranto, then we have the chinato, and then we have the other brand called Rinomato, which is, we split the category, which is one in Americano Bianco, and one is an aperitivo.
All right,
so make sure you remember, 75% should be a wine. The other 25% is dividing with the alcohol, sugar beet, botanicals, and sugar. And then that's created the 45 method. Right?
That's created what?
The 45.
Oh, 45, yeah.
Yeah, 45 method. Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, 75% wine. The remaining 25% is split between the botanicals, the sugar.
And sugar beet. We use the sugar beet alcohol.
Sugar beet alcohol.
Yes.
And that's, and then you must list the type of wine on the label.
Marta Barbara wine, and then plus the ABV has to be from 15 ABV maximum to 21 to 22 ABV maximum, because after the 22, 23 it starts to become,
right?
A liqueur, and then become absent.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's a liqueur then.
Correct. Yeah. So this is the thing. So there is a lot of brands which now they are updating the labels. But I remember when I used to do some education 6-7 years ago when I launched my vermouth, I used to pick up bottles of the other brands and everything. They were all below 13, 14, and everything. So now they're updating the labels because they're starting losing the market a little bit.
Right.
So be careful. Be careful of what you...
Okay, be careful of your vermouth.
Be careful of your vermouth.
Well, because, it's real outlaw. The educated consumer, that's what we want in our establishments.
So quality of wine. So basically, at the end of the day, guys, if we play around with wine, you can play around with your vermouth. So basically, it can be very bad vermouth because of wine, because of 75% is wine.
I've always heard that you're supposed to leave it on the shelf unrefrigerated for years.
And half opened,
And then
you
want to
bottle condition
good.
It at your own bar.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Am I wrong?
No, basically.
Yes, you're wrong, you jackass.
So basically,
when you open it, you refrigerate it.
No, basically, again, treat it as wine at the end of the day. That's it.
Treat it as wine. Yeah, that's the mantra that I try and tell people.
Treat
all the time.
It as wine. Don't put the metal pour on top. I know you're in America, everybody, on the speed rail and everything. No, don't try to put, I can cut a Di Mancino. I know it's, we're talking about a 750 ml bottle, it's less than a liter, and then vermouth is in a 70% of the cocktail list all over. So, and I suggest you to use the actual original cork you have on top of the things. Don't put it here because the air can oxidize the things, and then
I always recommend to people, when they come in and they ask me, they say, how long does my vermouth last? I say, well, as soon as you open it, the clock is ticking. Yeah. Just like with wine. So tonight you're having a party. You're serving Manhattans. You're gonna use a third vermouth to the whiskey.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night with dinner, drink vermouth.
Oh, also, these pumps you use it for the oxygen.
Yeah, the pump
cork it as well. I suggest you
vacuuming.
Correct. Yeah. To use that as well if you really.
Oh, I don't have a vacuum. I have a Coravan system.
Fantastic.
Coravan with your vermouth.
Yes.
Ooh, an aristocrat.
That's so baller.
Another suggestion on the cocktail station and everything. So now the new programs I'm building, in Asia, as you know, so that I do a lot of consultancies as well.
Yeah.
So I create like aperitivo, little speedy rail inside the ice block. So basically, you have, and then it's an old Italian thing. If you go to the old Italian bars, you have the amaros inside the speedy rail with ice touching. So now I just created like six at least for sherry, for vermouth, for aperitivos or Americano, just inside the ice, inside the, like a little speed rail inside the ice. And then you can keep from the fridge, keep it there, keep working.
So,
yeah, that's great.
So I suggest you to, because that's where we're going. We're going to the low ABV drinking.
Yeah.
It's circling back, right?
Yeah.
Because
circling back.
Because in Europe and where you're from, low ABV has always been the key.
Also been key.
You guys, here in America, I think we try and drink as high ABV as we can, as fast as we can.
Correct.
And then we pass out. But where you guys are like, screw that, we'll just drink low ABV all day long.
All day long. That's
right?
What we do, yes.
The slow and steady wins the race approach.
And South Europe, if you think about as well, the Tinto Verano, the wine in Spain, like with the lemonade and red wine, the sangrias, the gin and tonic thing, all of that. So it's all like, low ABV things.
Yeah.
As you say, you sit there and forget about it,
Yeah, you sit there and you forget about life.
And you can be like hanging out in Italy and be like, dude, I had 45 Aperol spritzes last night.
Yeah, and like, right?
And I feel great today.
I feel awesome.
Right? Let's go get some gelato.
Right. Or you have those great meals in Italy that as they're clearing away your dessert plate, they're bringing your appetizer for the next meal.
Yeah.
It's like it just, right. It's all day affair.
All day.
You know, we have happy hour. They have happy days. You know? So you've got a lot of vermouth and the Americano on the table here. What should we have a sip on first? It's a beautiful, sunny day.
I think, yeah, it's sunny day because, here. Because let's call it spring, which is, I don't know what's happening.
It's finally spring in New York, yes.
No, hopefully I will see some cherry blossom in Washington, D.C. tomorrow.
So, oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
You will.
Actually, we do an event because we also did a very particular... particular vermouth in collaboration with Japan. I did the first ever Sakura vermouth.
Sakura, that's cherry blossom.
Sakura and violet. So very, very unique. Only 4,000 bottles. We did it for the Mandarin Oriental Tokyo last year. And then there's a lot of demand. And then people, they went just totally crazy. So I reproduced another 4,000 bottles. They're all gone. About 1,000 bottles for US. So there are some bottles around.
Maybe I think I had some of that at Uchu the other night. I went to Frankie Cocktail's place. Frank Cisneros, he actually bartended at the Mandarin Oriental in Tokyo.
So, and then that's it.
Now he opened a bar called Uchu here about, like, what, 8 months ago or so?
Yeah, maybe.
I went there Monday night with my friend Emil from Brooklyn Gin. We sat there and had the cocktail omakase. It was excellent.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And, we definitely had some. I didn't make the connection.
Actually, Dante has a border somehow from where, box of 12 bottles. So yesterday, I think today or tomorrow, they're launching... Tokai Mancino Vermouth Sakura Martini. Super good.
Tokai whiskey.
Not Tokai. Tokai sweet wine from Hungary.
Yeah. Oh, the wine. Yeah, yeah.
Tokai from the wine Hungary. Very cool.
Oh, that's rad.
So fantastic, yes. So I think back to what we're drinking. We're starting with the spring. I think we should start with the Bianco Ambrato. Very florally.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Hook it up.
Heather flower, chamomile. Sort of Ambrato means amber.
Love that sound.
Ambrato means amber. Again, 75% wine, and elderflower, chamomile, a lot of cinchona bark. What's cinchona bark? Cinchona bark is what is macchina. The cinchona bark, the extract, which is the making as well, the extract of quinine for the tonic water.
Quinine, for all those Americans listening.
Correct. So
it's the same bittering agent that's in tonic. It's the
correct.
It's known as the fever tree.
Fever tree, is all the tonic water, quinine. Indian tonic water, just for the malaria.
Oh no.
That's good luck. You know what they do? You know what they do in Italy? So that they do in Italy, touch here, and then there's like perfume. It's good luck.
Oh, there you
like,
go.
Okay. Yeah, that's go. It. Yeah. Okay.
No one can see what I just did, but I just knocked over a whole glass of this delicious vermouth. But I put it on like perfume.
Yes. So elderflower, chamomile, cinchona bark, aloe vera.
See, this is why.
Well, the room smells great now.
It smells great, but like, this is why we can't have nice things. No, this is the reason why I think Americans don't really understand vermouth, and they don't really.
Can I just say why? Because the big brands that destroy the category.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Done. I don't want to say when. So
yeah,
done.
Let's not sugarcoat it. That's kind of the truth.
Correct.
Big brands, and also this terrible misconception of what. Thanks for the napkins. Also, this terrible misconception of like what vermouth is and what it does, especially in cocktails. Which, first of all, I would like to say, vermouth is meant to be drank and consumed and enjoyed.
Correct.
Pour it out of the bottle over ice or not over ice. Add some seltzer or not seltzer. It's not. No, you don't make this stuff with the thought in mind that you hope it'll be delicious in a cocktail. You're making it because it is delicious.
That's it.
Right? So it's meant to be drank. And then, of course, the American sort of view on vermouth is this notion that it's weirdly somehow something you don't want. Like, you know, in a martini, you're supposed to just bow towards
France.
Correct,
correct, like, correct. But because, again, because my point, so that's a good point, because I think back in the 1930s and 1940s, the vermouth was so bad, which is, I can guarantee you, it was so bad. And people, like, as you said before, keep the bottle 1 year in the bloody bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And then asking a nice Grey Goose martini or whatever, and then putting this yellow, brownish, oxidized.
Yes.
And then, of course, maybe somebody put on, say, like, please, no vermouth. And then that's why you're having this 25 ounces of Grey Goose martini in a big glass.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, I'd rather to give you a shot of vodka from the freezer. That's it. Don't ask for martini. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Can I just?
Yes.
I love martinis. I'm a gin martini nut. But Damon knows this. When I ask, I'm like, listen, put the vermouth in the air conditioning unit and just make me a gin martini. Now, I've learned, like, through education that, you know what, if the vermouth is ice cold, it works better in a drink.
Definitely.
So, like, I'm learning, I'm going from the American way of drinking martinis to the actual educated way to drink martinis.
It's also just like those people who think they prefer their martini without vermouth at all, they just want chilled gin. You know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich is not the same without the jelly.
Correct.
Like, you're missing half of the thing here. It's just a peanut butter sandwich. also delicious. I'm not saying that the gin makers aren't making gin that is delicious to be drinking.
No, but then again, also
but the bottom line is it's not a martini.
Right. Also, Hollywood destroyed a little bit the situation. You know what I'm saying? Because like we're talking about James Bond.
Oh, no.
How you can have a shaken martini. Or, you know, or don't mix up with that. So basically, we talk about confusing, right? So confusing the situation is that. So... very nice.
Nice sound.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, that was a good sound. He was going to James Bond.
All right. So basically, this is the Bianco Ambrato we just served. So perfect for, because I put a lot of cinchona bark. Cinchona bark, basically, it's perfect for Vespers, great for white spritzer, fantastic for with agaves.
Thank you.
I forgot for fantastic with agaves.
Yeah, it's got that tea-like note on the backside. It's got a very lush mouthfeel.
Fantastic. I do white Manhattans with these.
Hell yeah.
I do an improved pisco sour without sugar because a little bit of sugar here, sweet, correct? Yeah. So,
that's cool. That's a good idea.
Correct. So what are you having now? It's my favorite for the martini. I started with my secco. So it's secco. It's called the dry. Only 18 grams of sugar. Keep in mind that the Trebbiano white wine, and generally white wine naturally, has between 8 to 12 grams of sugar, naturally.
So you're not adding very much.
No, I add very much. That's why it's super dry, okay? I'm adding a little bit of sugar because of the traditional method, as I told you, right?
Yeah, and it's really cool. It's got like a lot of like kind of like baking spice.
Correct.
You know, in it,
and like, then you know what? Best spaghetti vongole, best risotto mushroom. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, now you're talking.
I'm not kidding. Okay. So you know, because we cooking style and everything. So a lot of greens, sage. Mm. 18 grams of sugar, 75% of Trebbiano.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And following that first one, that one's really like just ripping my palate dry.
Correct.
Yeah. Like so, the other one was really juicy and wet. This one is like...
So this is a perfect for your martini. You can go up to 1 ounce. All depends on your glasses. 1 ounce. It's best for the 50-50 martini. So I love it. Fantastic for Brooklyn. I call it a little bit high on vermouth, a very Brooklyn Mancino, which is high on vermouth, less dry. I use an Italian Amaro, no Picon.
Yeah.
And then a couple of... but I love Picon. I love Picon. For me, it's one of the best Amaro. And that's it. So basically, this is my baby. I started... If you see a lot of brands, they start with the Rosso, the Bianco, but there's not too much dry, right?
Right.
So I started my dry, be a bartender. I say I need to fix my martini first. My wife drink Gibson.
Me too. That's my jam.
And then I have a dog called Gibson. So
I thought you were going to say. And then my dog also drinks Gibson.
Yeah. No, you will not believe it. Every time we go behind the bar, we have a beautiful bar at home in South Spain.
And I play Gibson guitars.
Fantastic. My nephew plays Gibson guitar. My nephew is a guitar player in London. And then what we do now, sort of, which if you like it, this is the next project after what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm actually making olives and onions under my vermouth.
Oh my gosh.
All right, it's gonna be something for everybody because you know olives and onions can destroy your martini too.
Oh, yeah.
Destroy totally. Because the first thing you do, guys, like, hey, where's Lois? Oh, go buy it to the grocery shop.
Yeah, go get buy it. Whatever you can get.
And then the first one, bang.
Yeah. And you're from the land of olives.
And then you know, we have gins, vodkas where they get water from there, gin of 60 botanicals, mansion of vermouth in details.
Right. Lot of
and
effort.
then you know, you have this dirty water. Yeah. We have like this salty, I don't know, olives from God knows where, and then cheap onions, it can destroy my vermouth and
effort.
Your gin at the same time in
effort.
A second.
A lot of effort, right? A lot of work goes into making those liquids, and then someone throws in a shit olive and it's garbage.
So, Chris, I said that's my next project. That's very focusing at the moment.
So. I definitely want to talk about that some more because we're all Gibson fans. But let's take 2 minutes to hear from our sponsors. We're going to come right back and talk to you about more of what you're doing and more of what you're going to do soon.
Perfecto.
Giancarlo Mancino is in the studio with us. Join us in a few minutes.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
All right, we are back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to us drink on Heritage Radio Network.
And we have our friends in the studio today. We're talking about vermouth, and we were talking about, like, we kind of touched on it before in the first half of the show that, you know, the lower ABV culture of drinking the style that's actually starting to really hit the United States. I mean, I've had a lot of people. I mean, my roommate is the brand ambassador for Plymouth Gin. We go out and we drink 50-50s all the time because Robbie Nelson. We can go out and have martinis and not be completely smashed by the end of the night. I mean, well, that just means we drink more martinis. But
Means your night is longer. You get to enjoy more.
Exactly. And especially when you're working
better
for a
to
brand.
Have a long time of a little fun than a short time of a lot of fun.
Correct.
Yeah. So, like, and I know that, like, there's 50-50. I think the Martinez was the first classic cocktail that was reintroduced into the like, cocktail renaissance, like the canon of classic drinks that was, like, you know, 2 ounces of vermouth and 1 ounce of gin. I think that really ushered that in. I have a lot of customers who come into my bar, not a lot, but a noticeable amount of customers who come in and order Manhattans inverted to where it's 2 parts vermouth and 1 part rye.
Yes.
And you know what? I mean, it's still crazy delicious, but that's because we get good vermouth in the States now. Yes. You couldn't do that back
exactly.
in the day.
No. Yes.
And I don't want to name drop. Well, everyone knows
we're getting
the
good vermouth.
We're
yeah, exactly. We're getting good vermouth now in more and more numbers. And we're collectively, not just the nerdy among us, but collectively the people who care at all among us are being careful with that vermouth when they have it. Again, going back to not just storing it on the shelf, not keeping it open, not correct. Giving a speed pour in it. You know, taking good care. Being good stewards of the products that we
serve.
You
know what? Actually, going back to something we were talking about before, is like in storage. I was thinking about that when I noticed it at Bar Uchu on Monday, but I've also been noticing it. I started thinking about the like vermouth storage. I've been seeing a lot of people, like a lot of bars, using like 375s and 500 milliliter bottles. I think that's
what I always recommend to the home consumer. If you don't think you're going to go through this
correct.
750 fast enough, get a smaller bottle.
So it's more for the end consumers, for liquor stores and everything. But again,
I mean, I go through so much vermouth that, like,
brilliant.
I keep it, I store it as best I can, but I also I have speed pours on it. But the thing is, I will crush a bottle in one service.
Oh, then it's okay. Then it's okay. All depends on your program. So whatever you do, if you put a program with 15 cocktails, 8 of that is vermouth. Why not?
My spring menu has we have in our what you would call a well. Yeah. There are 7 different vermouths in play on the menu, and. Actually, we're kind of light on the sherry. We only have 3 sherries in the well.
Great.
But we blast through those bottles. Like, there's rarely an occasion where we don't crush a bottle of each of those in one shift.
That's nice. That's a 10 cent. Then it's okay. Then.
That's good.
But that goes back to education on vermouth, you know? Like, correct. We've put vermouth and fortified wines in a lot of our cocktails, not only because we love them and we want it low ABV, but, like, we're just trying to educate people on it. Now that we have good stuff, it's like we want to spread the gospel. You know?
Yeah,
that's great.
You get good things, you want to share them with people.
Yeah.
So wait, let's touch back just for a second here. Yeah. You're going to be producing, or are you already producing olives and onions?
We
olives and onions. I like the way you say it.
olives. Olive e cipolle.
olive e cipolle. I got
olive
it.
Cipolle. Yes. So it's in process. It's everything in the lab and everything because I'm just. Okay. Just checking in terms of packaging, and then I'm tasting how, because sometimes, you know, like
if you need a tasting panel, I mean, like
we will. basically, sometimes, you know, when you buy the cans one or the glass one, so there is a lot of acid citric they put inside to maintain it. So I won't try to much as much as possible.
Right.
And then I'm checking now the maybe I need to go higher on ABV on the vermouth, just particle of that to conserve more. Maybe I need to add olive oil. It's still in the lab for me to check after 6 months what up. It's already 2 years checking out. So far so good. It looks like I need to convert my vermouth into vinegar first. Uh-huh. But in Italy, unfortunately, it's a legislation. I cannot turn that because I want to do another project. I want to do the first ever vermouth aceto, which is vinegar. Mm-hmm. But Italy doesn't let me do it because aceto is like a name of, you know, like how you say it in English, like it's a...
It's a designation. It has rules.
Yeah, it has rules. Okay. And then for me, when I went to the government, it's like I want to do the first vermouth vinegar. Like Spain does Jerez, yep, sherry, yeah, vinegar, but no, Italian, no. We have a balsamic, that's it. I say, okay. So I want to do my that. So, and that's very difficult because you need to add yeast inside to turn
the mother yeast. Does that depend on what region of Italy you're in?
I'm from originally Basilicata, little village where you can see on the front label called Pignola. And Basilicata actually is the original region of Francis Ford Coppola, De Niro, Al Pacino. All, you know, also the Amaro Lucano. You know the Amaro, mm-hmm, Lucano?
Of course, yeah.
That's like my favorite.
Correct. That's the Amaro Lucano one. And we are Lucani. So I'm from Lucania, which is Basilicata, the old name. But I'm Lucano. I say, where are you from? I'm Lucano. You know, you say, I'm Saturn. I'm, you know, we are Lucano. That's why the Amaro is called Lucano as well.
That's cool.
So, yeah, back to the thing. So it's everything in the lab and everything. So far, I'm happy the actual liquid out of the olives and everything, but the actual onions and olives, they get a little bit destroyed after 6-7 months in the can. So I don't want it to be a food as well. There is a lot of, again, bureaucracy behind the legislation.
There's also a lot of science.
Expire date, science, all of that. But I want to keep the science out because when you talk about science, you start to putting crap, yeah, inside. So I want to try to avoid that, which is, and then there is a lot of new additions for essence and everything, which is all natural now. So it's a little bit project. I think one more year because I really want to make it bang. So to preserve, it's not the fermentations, it's totally different. Preserving, I know it's the oldest things because especially South Italy, we're preserving like, right, everything from day one, you know what, sure, I'm saying? But when you were talking about liquid preserving, olive oil is the best, right?
Sure.
I don't want to do olive oil and then you're putting onions in your martini, ciao. It's become like a, I don't know, curry or something?
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, so this is... everything in details, especially from my martinis and my cocktails. So all on my onions, and especially the onions, the sides, very particular because depends on the sides, we can save money, the beverage cost, because imagine you use a small coupe, mm-hmm, and you're putting like a
big onion, yeah,
like a 15 grams or 20 grams of onions, boom, we lose like 1 ounce of martini, yeah, into it, which is you don't want to cheat anybody. But imagine, right, to have one onions and not three dirty onions and the plastic things putting there, just like, hey, take your onions.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
So one onion's like, tack, sit at the teeth, but then can keep it for 6 months. So that's my goal now. So that's,
well, I think if you work hard on the recipe, they won't have to be able to keep for 6 months. They'll be blasting through them just like you.
I know, but it's risky. It's risky because they're gonna go around.
Hey, man,
they're gonna go around. You start to selling it.
It's risky to not be risky.
That's right.
Yeah,
the biggest risk is to take
like
no risk.
Dave.
Dropping philosophy bombs, yeah, today. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. So we'll look forward to that. That's amazing.
No problem.
You said earlier that you started Mancino in 2011.
2011.
So same year as I opened the Morning Market. So you're 7 years old.
Correct. And then I remember I told you last year as well. I was my bar. I was always looking at your bar, and then I came here to my wife with the bottles and the things, looking for a distribution partner because we have our partner business out of San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And I said to my wife, let's go to New York. I need to go there and then drop the bottles. And that was that. So, but there was the bottle before launching. I had the actual label. Putting myself
a sticker, yeah,
sticker myself, and then we launched in 2012 at BCB Bar Comet Berlin, as I explained,
right,
to you before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then from there, it's exactly 6 years. In October, we are in 54 countries, without accounting the states in the US. In the US, we have 21 states. So.
54 countries and in 21 states of the United States.
Yes,
which is like another 21 countries, really.
Correct. That's why now I'm going to concentrate the 2019 year myself in America only. I'm going to become maybe once a month or something.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you have a team here, like an ambassador or anything,
yes,
like that?
Yes, well, I'm looking for an ambassador, actually. Oh.
Really?
Looking for... No. I'm looking for an ambassador. I want an Italian-American from Brooklyn.
All right.
I want an Italian-American.
Hey, work on your
accent, you know? Yeah. But anyway, we do some...
What are you looking at?
We are doing some researching on that. But definitely I will be the main person in the US, because now Australia, I have a brand ambassador called Grazia Di Franco. She's doing an amazing job looking for someone in Asia, because it's my second home, and we are killing Mancino with Chris Lauder.
Oh man,
in China.
Chris Lauder is
the alien.
The alien.
Yes,
because he's not from this earth.
Correct. Fantastic talent, and then that's it. So next step for me, it's America. But then, again, guys, it's more to education. I really want to do a lot of guest shift. Really, I want to go there, as you say, you know, inverted Vanattans, more ABVs, more aperitivos, more stuff. So it's
how important is America as a market?
You know what?
Asia's got way more people.
No. It's we need to be here. So we need to be in America for
I know you need to be here, but I mean, you say you want to focus on us.
It's because you know what? So we have issues in the UK. That's in the UK, unfortunately. You need to pay for put your brand.
Pay to play.
There's a listing fee, all of that, which is for me, be a bartending and see colleagues where they come used to me to see a bartender. Now they ask me, can I have £700 to put a Kinato in my cocktails? Look at him, he's like, really?
Yeah.
It's just like kidding me.
Yeah, I don't know how they get away with it.
Crazy.
Well, I don't.
But this is again, it's not their fault, no our fault.
Right.
It's a system.
Well, yeah, and it's really unfair isn't the right word, but it's very difficult for a small producer, a small brand.
So I think to be fair, so my experience in the field, being not a commercial guy in terms of, you know, a little bit good with numbers, you know, be always managing the bar, all of that, not from family who owns vineyard, who owns business like this and everything. So I just threw myself in the middle of monsters.
Yeah.
And then I said, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to put quality. I'm going to put my name on the front of the label. I'm going to go to the village, the picture of the village where my parents are living in the house. And then, you know, Mama Mary, God will help me what through. But then again, at the end of the day, it's a project with no debts, no loans.
What?
Seriously. No loans, no 100% of myself, no banks involved.
Stop
zero.
Bragging.
When are you going to write a book?
No, I know. So
don't write a book. It's terrible.
Seriously. No, you're doing that, right? You're doing that. So basically, it's just like my baby. The goal is, if nobody want it, I'm going to give it to the priest of the village. He has 21 churches in my village. He's going to do the Sunday church with my vermouth. That's it. And my brothers and my programs, they're going to use it. This was the goal behind Mancino. And then... Boom.
Because you bartended for how long?
20 years.
20 wow. years?
20 years.
I started you start when you were
I'm
9 41. Years old?
I'm 41. I'm 41. Just turned 41.
You're a baby.
Just 41.
I got matches older than you.
Matches?
I do.
So I think, are you doing the Kinato now, right?
I've already gone through. I'm just
no. I think let's see the Rosso first in terms
I,
of.
I had
terms.
It. It's beautiful.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Yeah. Fantastic.
The Rosso is delicious. It's very
Rosso Amaranto. So Amaranto is called Amaranto because you see the colors look very amaranth, and then it has 10 botanicals where we're using the Amaro. So only under 35 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's really. Nice. Gets my mouth watering. It's very
good. English rhubarb.
A little bit of savory notes in there.
Yeah, it's like almost like a tobacco-y,
talk to me, or I don't know what you know about it, but talk to me about how Don Q Rum uses your barrels as a
age. Listen to this. That's fantastic, actually. So again, when I started Mancino with the 5,000 bottles, so I had an idea. I was with my little Vespa around the area of Asti, where we produce Calamandrana. And stopped to a place where they're doing barreling, and the brand new Italian Hawk barrel, semi-charcoal. I called the guys, I said, guys, I want one barrel. Then when I went to the distillery, the guy in the distillery is like, what do you want with this barrel? I said, I want 600 liters right now here before we bottling the first batch. The guy looked at me, he's like, no way. So my father here from 1930, we never see wood in the distillery. I said, well, can you put that? So please put 600 liters there and then leave it. And then if it goes bad, we give again to the priest of the village.
Those right? priests don't drink anything.
Correct. So what I did, it. So we throw the things there. And then, of course, the barrels up and down and, you know, like talk about. But really set forward with no, again, additional chemicals. So when the liquid was starting coming out, take it out. 15 liters, put it back again after 2 months. So basically very raw method of aging.
Right.
Like this. So come out 1 year bottling, I call it Vecchio, Mancino Vecchio, only 800 bottles in the world. That's it. This is I did it for a little bit of brand building. Bottle two, bottle there, bottle here, bottle there. So well, I've been collecting. You didn't get that. Oh. I will get it. So I've been collecting this idea for every year. So every year when I batch it, so I take 600 liters and I'm collecting five bottles, 5 years, five bottles. So last year, don't you send me an email. It's like, my broker of my bottles buying around the world finally found the vermouth bottles. Are you the producer? I said, yes. Because there is no vermouth bottles. All the big brands as well, no wood, zero.
Right.
Really?
Oh. They used to be big brands. They used to have like large, like 3,000, 4,000 liter bottles, but they used to put the extract inside, put on the ship and back in the 30s, a ship down to Argentina and then blending with the local wines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
So they would age the extract, but not the whole product.
Correct. No aging, just transporting.
Right, not even aging. Just
aging 2 months, maybe on the ship,
for,
I don't know.
Just for travel.
Yeah, correct.
Just built for
so
travel.
So that's it,
yeah.
But no wood. So that's then Mancino. So basically it's the Rosso as it is with no caramel, because right. The Rosso comes from caramel, guys. Don't get confused.
Right.
This is the category as well. We talk about like back to the category. So the Rosso is no red wine. It's right. Rosso because of caramel as a traditional method.
I think that's okay? Very important to note that.
Very important to note.
Yeah.
Okay. Apart of the last one you're adding, because it's totally different. But then again, so I before putting the caramel, putting the barrel, the Rosso Amaranto, it become Rosso Barrique. So and then Don't You say, well, finally we found the vermouth, and then we want to be the first Don't You, the first Ram having vermouth barrels. So they bought all my five bottles, and now they're looking for 100 or 200 bottles. And then for me now, I need to go to Italy with a couple of guns. No. I need to figure out that. But then I said to him, I don't think I can keep for 1 year. Maybe we just washed my Rosso, and then I filter again, I bottle it as regularly, and then it can be a little bit more powerful, just keep like this, and then give the bottles to them again.
Amazing.
That's again, another things which I thought about in 2011, and then people is like, no bottles. No way. Vermouth bottles, are you crazy? I said, no, put it there, I don't care.
Can I?
And what inspired you to do that though? Like just your,
you know,
your time,
you know,
as a bartender?
You know what? Kind of. You know when the small bottles they start to all these big brands say like aging,
which is Morgenthaler.
Correct, but correct. So between us, after I realized the signs of aging with my 600 liter bottles, those small ones is like the easiest way to spoil the cocktail. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Correct. So
thanks, Jeff Morgenthaler.
No. Because you know, lighting, sun. You know, we see these barrels on top of the fridge, on top of there, and one day there.
Yeah.
Movements and things like this, all related to the aging.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know that.
Agitation. Yeah. What do you got, Lincoln?
So, well, I want to touch back to a minute. You mentioned the Italian and the French remove, and I have one of my old cocktail books because I'm a cocktail nerd, and they talk about vermouth and the very dry martini, the dry martini and the dry martini too. They say French vermouth, but then when it comes to the sweet martini, they say ladies only, and then Italian vermouth, and it's like, wait a minute, you're telling me that the French vermouth was so good back then that only men should have it, and that the Italian vermouth was so sweet only women can have it? It's
what year is this book?
Printed in 49, reprinted in 75.
So 49.
So,
but I'm saying, like, I think the book is completely wrong. I think the Italian vermouths should be forward, and regardless of sweet, it doesn't matter how you pee.
Yeah, definitely in the dry category of vermouth, Italian, French. They've been always, you know, in terms of commercialized ones, especially for America.
Yeah,
they've always been attacking each other. Means like, okay, yours is dry, then extra dry.
Yeah,
you know. But then to sell to America, just they use the American word extra dry. But why not? That's why my one I call Secco.
Yeah.
All right. So now, in terms of sugar level, dry French lady, whatever, you know, sugar level is all depends on the wines. Those guys there, by then maybe they only concentrate on the sales point marketing. Like extra dry just to achieve it to America, but nobody was talking technically how the vermouth and how much sugar right. level it was there. And that's why people, they got confused about it in general, right?
Yeah,
and then I tell you one more thing as well, back to the same questions. A lot of menu in America, they still use sweet vermouth.
Yeah.
Now, as a category's traditional method, and this is traditional method in Italian, the Bianco has to have, and all of them they have, more sugar than the Rosso. So yeah. make sure, that's my
right.
suggestion.
Your dry vermouth has a higher sugar content than your sweet vermouth, is what you're saying, as the category.
The category, like the Bianco, has more sugar than the Rosso.
Right.
So when you put in your menu, your Manhattan or your Martinez sweet vermouth, I personally will ask you, which one, Bianco Rosso?
Right.
Do you get my point? So no more sweet vermouth, because again, yeah. it's not your fault, guys, because Bianco, it's just going down to the menu to say white Manhattan, white Negroni, white this, white that, you know, like all that. Because the Bianco vermouth is all Southern Europe style drinking.
Right.
Like, you know, with lemon slice and ice and everything, you will never see, you in America all said only the dry, which is 18 grams of sugar, 20 grams of sugar, or the Rosso, which is 200 grams of sugar.
Right.
And that's why you're calling it sweet. But now there is the Bianco in the middle, which is finally arriving here. And now I suggest you split them. Secco, dry, Bianco, or Rosso.
Right.
But then you can call also Rosso sweet or Bianco sweet.
Sure, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, but no sweet only, because it's like, whoa, which one?
Yeah, which one?
Correct. So this is again, you see, like, we are in the same area now, in the same era, which is like a sweet vermouth.
Right.
But then which one? You see, people writing book now still and putting sweet vermouth, and then it got back there. You see,
right? But that's it. I think that goes part to how Americans drink. It's like, oh, my grandfather had it this way, so that's how I have it. My grandfather used to keep olives in his vermouth.
Correct. You see,
in a jar, and as a kid, being a greedy f, grab one and was like,
yeah.
So yeah, but the idea of prepackaging the vermouth, the olives in the vermouth, excellent. Like, that's genius.
I know.
And then
he's like, I know.
Well, yeah, of course.
I'm a genius.
I love them. No. It's but then again, I'm getting very frustrated. It's not easy.
Nothing's easy, man. Nothing
packaging,
cool.
Packaging food. It's not. No. I'm very.
Listen, nothing cool is easy. If surfing was easy, it wouldn't be cool.
Okay, I know. You're right.
But
you're right.
Lincoln said a word in that little bit there that I want to touch on, because we're running close on time.
Yeah.
He said pre-packaged. So you brought some samples here that don't have labels on them, and
yes.
you're working with. Well, you tell it. What you got in the bottles?
Wow, beautiful. I think can you guys open that, because you're gonna just
you have a bottle
loving
opener?
It. Yes.
That's a question.
Dave, we got a bottle opener out there. You can use the side of that that shaker.
Dude, come on.
Come on, man. Bartend this thing.
So
anyhow, what do you got?
Again, back to Lloyd BV.
You never saw me do this.
Oh.
Nice. So Lloyd BV, Lloyd BV category. So
sorry, Mom.
We meet up with the Miles and Kia from Scrappy's Bitters.
Miles from Scrappy's, who was supposed to be on our show a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But due to the blizzard, he couldn't be here.
Okay.
But yeah.
So what Scrappy's we did Bitters. Is, so we meet up, we're sharing a lot of countries each other. So in terms of distributions, and then we meet up in Singapore on Masterclass, and yes. So we're putting now basically vermouth bianco, Mancino vermouth bianco, soda, and orange bitters. So what are we doing now with the Scrappies, in collaboration with my partners here in America? We set up a company each other, and we are doing the first RTD high end vermouth and soda.
RTD, ready to drink. So
ready to
vermouth and soda. Oh my God, yeah. It's fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Amazing, right? So it's this one we're using, guys, is super, super, super. Like, no. you guys are the first. So
this is great.
We're the first.
God. We got a scoop.
Yeah.
Number one.
So, two scoops in a row.
So yeah. It's still, yeah, still 95%. Okay. So I hope Miles. Sorry, Miles, but you know when I'm getting excited, you know me. So I want to just. But basically, that's unbelievable project. Unbelievable. So we do a Bianco with a little bit of lavender, maybe an orange, I don't know, I love lavender, and soda. The carbonization, Miles is a superstar on that. And then also, we love Scrappies, and then the combination is fantastic. So basically, vermouth and soda, high-end not this acid citric when you buy, you know, all this Pinotto or all this kind of thing, which is like, you know, San Pellegrino, like, you know, those is like, boom, my vermouth, day bitters, high-end soda, packaging will be very Italian kind of, you know, che cazzo, to say, no, something like this.
Yeah, what was the word you said before the show? No. You said a spritz.
I love spruzzi.
Spruzzi.
Yes.
So spruzzi.
I love spruzzi, but there is a lot of things. I love it, but so we have now, we're going out to the marketing branding, so to finalize the packaging and everything, and hopefully for this summer that we'll be ready. Hopefully, I hope so, maybe September.
So your vermouth, Scrappy's Bitters.
Scrappy Bitters.
Seltzer, and then you carbonate the whole thing. It's got a really nice bubble.
Fantastic. Yeah, I was going to say that's
no, high-end technology.
Yeah, the bubble is really nice.
Out of those Scrappy sweat house and everything.
That's one of the things Miles was going to talk to us about. He makes all those things. He makes the, you know, the Nova Fogo Caipirinha in a can?
Oh, yeah.
He makes those.
Oh, I didn't know.
And then
he's got
several of his own. He's got a Bramble and
a Bramble Daiquiri.
A Daiquiri. He's got canned cocktails that he makes.
Yeah, so they are that. So, but those ones, we are actually together in the company. So we got together like 100%. Like they are Miles and Kia and myself with my partner, so in the Rinomato. So.
You got an ambassador?
Hey, forget about it.
So, but the goal,
the
goal of these, I don't want to just in. It's gonna be a little bit of commercial too with the quality, but I really want like a top sommelier in a 2-Michelin star.
Yeah, man.
You know, like it's like wow, candles like this. Yes, look at that.
Yeah, so I mean. Cool, I think the consumer is kind of ready for it. The consumer understands that boxes are kind of the best thing for a wine. That canned beers are kind of the best thing for a beer. Like it doesn't seem out of step to me to understand that this is the best technology for the thing that we want to come out of it. Right?
Think about it a little bit. Like 10 years ago, what MHD of Diageo Bacardi did with the Bacardi Breeze has been of ice. Sure. You remember all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. But then again, they burned it. They did it. They burned themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As usual.
Icarus. They flew too close to the sun.
Correct.
I got to say, it's like both of those are just perfect for summertime.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just out with whomever and you got a basket of just very delicious food, maybe some nice light bites and that. And it's like, oh my goodness.
And then getting to the brain to the people that this quality with the two brands named behind is just no like vermouth and soda. No, Mancino vermouth, Scrappy, bam, soda, boom.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Jesus, great. No, so yeah,
all the big players.
So we're cutting. It's no vermouth and soda. It's Mancino and soda.
Mancino and soda, fantastic. So and then we cut down our margin as well. You know, we're shipping bulks and everything, and you know, like we cut down the margin, and then let's go. That's the way.
Very cool.
Well, listen,
also,
man.
Also, I just want to say kind of to bring it around full circle. This is a. It's also a very good, useful boomerang.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely is.
Yeah, I love that.
It absolutely is.
I love that. Yes.
Let's see. What do we got coming up? It's been really great having you on the show. Thanks for coming over and you know, thanks for all the good work that you're doing all over the world.
Fantastic.
Thanks for saying hello to my buddy Chris Latter when you're over there in Asia.
I will.
And
seeing him now on the 7th of May.
The alien, sure.
The alien.
And thanks, sitting in Lincoln Jennery.
Cool.
Thank you
for having that book. Very nice.
Oh, thank you. It's part of one of my projects. I actually did a review of this ancient sexist cocktail book, Esquire's Handbook for Hosts.
For hoes?
Hosts. But like, it's a whole the book is completely sexist. So like, and I'm still reading it, and all the pronouns are he. All women are punchlines, and it's just. And even some of the information is just ancient, like I said, with the vermouth. How, you know, it's like, oh, sweet vermouth is for women only.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
No.
You know, and yeah, so.
I mean, I got long hair. I'm proud.
Yeah.
I love sweet vermouth.
The unenlightened times.
Rosso vermouth.
Yeah. One of the lines in the book, they talk about dessert, and they say, dessert without cheese is a pretty woman with one eye.
What?
Whoa. And it's like, wait a minute. The editor just said, check. Yeah, we'll do this.
Yeah,
like,
leave it in.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's sorry, the Esquire handbook for hosts.
Yeah.
Hosed. The hosed. Okay, so upcoming shows include, but aren't limited to, Natasha David from Nightcap is going to be joining us.
Yeah.
We've got Anne Louise Marquis, international juggernaut with the Grupo Campari. We've got...
I wonder how many like apartments in different cities she has.
Well, you know, she just bought an apartment here in New York. Like, whoa. Anyhow, jealous. that's what I'm saying. Do you need an ambassador? Eric Metzger, photographer, is going to come in here. He does a lot of cocktail photography. Took all the photos for takes all the photos for the Instagram page of you know, world renowned Death and Company. So we got a bunch of cool shows coming up. And this show was really cool. And I'm feeling my sore throat's feeling a lot better. I'm feeling a little buzzed.
Yes.
This is delicious.
But lightly buzzed.
Lightly buzzed. Lightly buzzed. Like I can buzz this all day long.
That's the reason why we've gone a full hour today.
<It's> real, we have gone a little
over. It's a real testament to the low ABV cocktail drinking.
Yeah.
You guys are very sophisticated today.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Anyhow, and thanks again for Lincoln popping in. You brought us a couple of bottles to add to our growing bar.
Yes, I did.
I also brought us a case of Budweiser. Sent us this cool wooden cooler,
like ammo box.
It's really cool. It's got some of the tall boy bottle cans.
Oh, I get it. It looks like an ammo box because it's full of red and white dynamite.
Red and white dynamite.
America.
America.
I thought maybe the Ark of the Covenant was in there, but I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, we're still alive.
It's like the it's the thing in the trunk from Repo Man.
Jeez.
Anyhow, thanks to Budweiser for shooting us over some beers to add to our bar. The bar is slowly, coming alive. We still need to get a structure in here. If anybody wants to donate us a hutch or a bar or come over and build us one, that'd be great. Looks like Giancarlo's giving us some coasters for our bar. Nice.
That's
amazing.
Which is Mancino's left hand, right? It means like when we do like this, make a cazzo, right?
I picked that up from my Italian girlfriend.
The best. Anyway, this has been a great show. Once again, thanks for joining us. Where are you going off to next?
Washington, D.C. tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, rad.
Tomorrow morning, a couple of days, and then off London, and then all over Asia for a month again.
Are you going to get to visit Derek Brown, his pop-up bar, which is the Cherry Blossom Bar right now?
With my Sakura.
Yeah, with your Sakura. What a great pairing that'll be. He's an amazing guy, and that's a great bar.
Yes.
You'll have a ton of fun.
Fantastic.
All right, wrap us up, Damon.
All right, cool. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out heritageradionetwork.org for many other programs like this one. Maybe not as much fun. Mm-hmm. I hope. And click on the Beating Heart on the website to donate to the station so we can continue bringing you this quality programming and so we can keep day drinking with our buddies.
Yeah, exactly. And check out Mancino Vermouth. It's delicious and worth your time. All right.
All right. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Cheers.
Thanks,
salute.
Cheers.
Salute.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.